We on? Now then, Ray Winston here. The real one. Close enough. Doing a new podcast with me mate Tony. Soprano, that is.
Oh, how you doing?
Talking all the big stuff. Birds, scraps, films.
And of course, men's mental health. With studio guests such as arch feminist and top broad Deborah Francis White and disgraced scumbag comedian Dapper Laughs.
Something for everyone. We're trying to be better men, ain't we, Tone?
That's right. We're bad boys done good.
Available on YouTube and to download on all good audio platforms. Go on, get off your hands, you dopey c***.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Get your brand on board with our pod with a sponsorship campaign and get into the earphones of 100,000 plus highly engaged listeners within our show and across Acast's other famous podcasts. I'll even come up with the creative for you. Get in touch via producerpaul.co.uk and we'll have a chat about how it works. Hello and welcome to another edition of Insane in the Membrane.
Insane in the Membrane.
Greetings one and all. It's that time again where we cram ourselves into your ears with another magnificent episode of this great podcast. Thank you all for still being there, for listening, and for spreading the word. We really do appreciate it. I tell you what, do you know what, right? Before we get into the admin, what's going on with everybody listening to Phil Collins again? Everyone's listening to Phil Collins. Phil Collins is everywhere I go. He wasn't cool for ages. No one liked him. It was off the charts how much nobody liked him. And now everyone's liking him. Paul Sweeney. My mate, Paul Sweeney, has been listening to No Jacket Required on a loop. I mean, I just don't know. I don't know what's going on with the kids these days. We're all digging Phil Collins. What's going on? Hey, I don't know. Bootcut Jeans as well, they're coming back. Bootcut Jeans, but we'd bin them off, mate. No, making a comeback. I can't keep up with it all. Anyway, let's get into the admin before we get into the episode. We've had some reviews. We had a review on Podbean, which is nice. It's a Simon Gunning episode was the best yet. Really interesting. Many thanks, Doug in Berkshire. Thanks, Doug in Berkshire. That's very kind of you. Thank you very much. Thank you for being there, Doug in Berkshire. Thank you to all of you for being there. We've got to say hello to some new Patreons as well. We've got BJ, Claire and Jordan, who joined us over the Easter weekend. If you're listening to this and you'd like to become a Patreon, please do. It's available through our the links on the podcast. You just press the link, takes you right there, and you can give us a couple of quid just to keep the lights on, just to keep this thing going, because without you, it's just me sitting in a dark and padded room chatting to myself, and no one wants to do that. So do that for us, that'd be lovely. Also, I want to push our radio show, the Tuned Up Time Machine, that producer Paul and I we do on Islington Radio. That's currently on the Mixcloud app, and all you got to do is download the app onto your phone, and then you've got a raft of magnificent radio shows to dig into and enjoy. You've got the Tuned Up Time Machine. You've got Paul Gallagher's on there, Liam and Noel's brother. You've got James Walsh from Star Sailor. He's got his own show on there. There's all manner of people up on there. So jump up and listen. Our show's excellent. You should listen to that. Have a look at islingtonradio.co.uk, and that'll put you in the right place to show you what's going on. They've got so much stuff coming up. Live stuff is going to be happening with them. So give that a shout. Go and have a look. You're going to love that. Right. Over on Insane in the Fembrain right now, we have the mighty Jenny Ryan. Jenny Ryan is one of the chasers from ITV's biggest show, The Chase. It was an absolute joy to have her on. So go and have a listen to that. So, on with this week's episode. I was joined this week by the magnificent comedian and all-round decent human being that is Christopher MacArthur Boyd. I first became aware of Christopher. We gigged together in Nottingham. We mentioned this in the episode, if I remember rightly, where we first met. We kind of just, you know, he's a private dude. He likes his own space, does his own thing. But we kind of wandered around Nottingham. We were joined by Paul Peary that day, just walking around the charity shops and the vintage shops. And it was a really nice afternoon. It was night, and I was like, I really like him. And I was like, I want to get him on the podcast. And he agreed. And it was a really nice chat. Again, he's very open, very candid about his own struggles with his mental health. And, you know, and that's the thing, isn't it? You don't really know until you actually say to someone, how are you feeling? How are you really feeling? That they actually tell you. You know, I've had that recently, very, very recently, where I've kind of shut down and I've not really been talking to people about what I've been dealing with, like my own personal stuff, and letting the shadows get too much, and not dealing with them. And then it's only when someone actually says, are you really all right? And you go, nah, I'm not actually. The shadows lift. The darkness goes. It's amazing. I'm always going on about reaching out, and I should do more of it. You get that thing, you get burdened. You think, oh, I don't want to burden anybody else. I don't want to worry them or put it on them. And it's cool because what'll happen is they'll turn around and I'll go, oh, you all right? And they go, nah, I've been struggling with this. And you have this conversation and it's a fucking amazing thing. You're opening up. You're both opening up. And it's lovely. And so, yes, we should talk to each other. And that's why it was great to have Christopher on to have that very chat. So without further ado, coming up is Christopher MacArthur Boyd.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
A podcast from producer paul.co.uk.
Yeah, there he is.
Cracking the can on.
Oh, good to see you, man. I haven't seen you since, what was it, Nottingham, I don't think.
Do you know what? That was the time we met, was in Nottingham.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
But I'd done a gig with you in Camden.
Oh, yeah.
The
yeah.
only time I've ever done a gig in Camden. Where I nipped down, you were hosting. We didn't get to hang out, really.
Yeah,
it was nice seeing you anyway.
And you, man. Yeah, it's always a pleasure. We had a nice time in Nottingham, wandering around. It was lovely.
That was a very pleasant weekend.
Just
thinking about it now, I'm like, oh man, when was the last time I made a friend? Do you know what I mean?
It was just nice, wasn't it? There was no pressure on either of us. It was just... you like that, I like that, and we just kind of met in the middle. It was really cool.
How many times do you do a weekend at a comedy club and then you meet somebody you don't know and then you go for a coffee, you go record shopping, you go club shopping. It was like a wee cute Monday, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Me, you and Paul, obviously.
That's it. Paul, Paul Peary. That's it. But it's that, I think that's what I, at the beginning of all this shit that's gone on, I think I said on Facebook, it's like that's what's the biggest wrench for a lot of comedians was not just the gigs and the performing, it was the our little universe where we understand and accept each other. We're odd characters and we come together in these weird places, and
And that's what got taken away. And so it left us kind of floundering in, for want of a better word, the real world, if you like.
Yeah, you know? Definitely. But also, I think the thing that I really like about doing the circuit and going on tour is like being by myself or meeting new people and then going and having a coffee,
yeah,
and flipping through records and yeah, like trying on a shirt and like just because your day is so wrapped around, okay, get to this place, do this task that takes like less than an hour once you get there,
yeah,
the whole rest of your day is free. So it's just like, you know, just like wasting yeah time professionally.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because yeah, we're just, I think that's something as well. It was that my whole day consisted of me waiting for the evening. It's like, mm-hmm, well, it doesn't matter what I do during the day because I've got that. That's the mm-hmm thing I do. So it didn't feel like I was wasting time as such. But then that got taken away. So now you're like, I've got no, I'm just, it felt like I was just floating. I'm just floating around, nothing to hang on to.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, there's a song by a band called Pup, and it's quite like a depressing song, but it's something like, I feel like I'm untethered in a room without walls.
Yeah, right.
So just like fucking floating about, having an absolute shiter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's it. Because I've always had that in my head. Like, whenever I'm like a wee bit messed up, what I like to do is just look forward. Like, all right, just now shite, but like, say when I was 14, like, okay, it's shite being alive just now, but I do have tickets to see Megadeth in 3 months. Do you know what I mean? So let's yeah just stick about and we can do that.
It's good that you had that way of thinking at that young age. Like, you were like aware that things were shit, but it changes, you know?
Aye. I mean, I don't know how you would even cope if things were just shit and you couldn't cope. Do you know what I mean? I guess
But that's the thing, isn't it? Is there's a lot of people that are just stuck in this world of continual shit and can't see a way out. And it, you know, I struggle with it as well. I have those days where I can't see a light at the end of the tunnel, and I have to kind of really dig deep to find an exit to this darkness. And it's that to remind yourself that it's shit, but it's going to be good again. And then it might be shit again. You know,
that's the thing about what's happening just now is there are no gigs that you've got tickets for. So yeah, you need to kind of make wee things yourself. Like, oh, okay, you know, I'm not going to go see Megadeth at any point. I don't know why I'm bringing up Megadeth all the time, but, you know, they've not put a good album in 10 years. But that thing, I'm like, okay, I've got a Zoom quiz on Friday,
yeah,
or I'm recording a podcast on Thursday, or just like wee things you need to, making events for yourself.
Yeah, you're right, man. Yeah. You're right. But you've been doing Twitch as well, haven't you? What have you been doing? You've been gaming on there, or?
That was a thing. I've done that 5 nights a week for about 6 months.
Wow.
At the start of lockdown, and then I just had a wee turn at Christmas, and I went, fuck this, man. I fucking hate this. Even though I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
It's just my life was shite around the Twitch, but I blamed it on the Twitch.
Now it's got
to the point where I've kind of picked myself up and dusted myself down a wee bit head-wise since Christmas. But, like, I just can't go back to doing it again because I feel like I've lost, even though I know that this is bullshit in my head, I feel like I've lost the trust that the people, like, I had like 30 people, which isn't huge, but it's not shite either. It's like 30 people, a nice wee group who would come on every night and we would play games, play video games, and I would do a wee game show for them and shit. Amazing. And it was a good laugh, but I felt like I've kind of betrayed their trust.
Right.
By stopping doing it. So I've just went, none of that, no more Twitch.
Yeah. Well, sort of like, yeah, you're building it up in your head and it probably isn't that at all. Was it like you were up all night and then sleeping all day?
I mean, that's been my life since I was like 12.
Really?
So I've always been a night owl.
Yeah.
Stand up helped me because I would have to wake up at 10 in the morning to get the train to get to fucking Manchester for 5 so I could get dinner, so I could do the gig. So and then by the end of that, you're like, okay, that was a day's work.
Yeah.
So I'll go to sleep at like midnight.
Yeah.
But I've always had trouble getting to sleep. Like, even when I was like a wee boy, you know, like,
really?
Just like up till three, staring at the clock. I had a small soldier's clock. I don't know if you remember that film. It was about toys to life.
Yeah.
It was like a kind of weird shit Toy Story. But kind of violent. It was. I had a small soldier's clock. I just remember looking at it and going, right, that's been an hour I've been staring at this.
Oh,
or like a Pokemon poster on my wall, and I would just like go through every Pokemon, like try to count sheep, but counting Pokemon instead.
I always sat up at night. When I was a kid, I used to love sitting on my windowsill and then just looking out the window. And we lived on it's a lane. Mm-hmm. There's houses on either side, so it's a road, but it's a lane, so there's not many people at night. And I just used to sit there watching any animals that would creep about, and any weird fellas nicking petrol from the cars and things like that. I just sit all night, bathed in the orange from the streetlight, and just sit there.
That was what you had to do before reality TV. You just had to actually watch reality.
Exactly. And it's funny because the TV would stop at 10:30, and it would stop at 10:30, and then you'd have the national anthem would play. And that would be the end of TV.
And then let's watch the window.
Back to the window.
See those petrol stealing guys.
But what got me through when I got a bit older was listening to like illegal radio stations. So I'd have my radio under my pillow, and then I could just listen to Radio Laser, because that was like 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have I'd hear all these. Like, you'd find out about bands like, you know, Iron Maiden, but then they'd be playing Chic, and then next week and you're like, what is going on?
Yeah,
you know, good times, man.
Badass.
So you always find it. You always find a way, don't you? You know.
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, Twitch was having a bad effect on my sleep pattern, because it wasn't as this. Do you know the thing after a gig where you have like adrenaline and you're like kind of all hyped up? I would have a very kind of small, not as effective version of that with Twitch, where I would be wired from performing for 2 hours, but I just didn't have the same rush. But I would stay up, and then I mean my sleep pattern's just absolutely fucked just now.
Yeah.
So that's why I took the late slot to record the podcast.
Well done, mate. It's just nice to have you on and see your lovely face.
Well, thank you very much.
The thing I've seen with these Zoom gigs, like, which I imagine is similar to Twitch, is that you stood there and you're doing your thing,
mm-hmm.
and whereas before we do a gig and then you've got either you sort of sit around afterwards having a beer and a chat, or you've got a journey home, mm-hmm. so you're processing all that that's gone on, and the adrenaline's going to different places, and you're kind of, but this is in your house, and you switch off your computer, and then you're sort of just, you haven't got the journey home, you haven't got the chat afterwards, so you're just sat with this weird energy that you don't normally bring into your house,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you sort of stood there like, fuck, I don't know what to do with this. Yeah,
one thing that I miss so much is, because I'm in live in Glasgow, and then a lot of times I would gig in Edinburgh, you know, sometimes 5 nights a week I would go through Edinburgh, which is, it's only like, you know, it's an hour away on the train.
Yeah.
So, but I would have that walk to the train station, sit on a train for an hour, read a book, write, read my notes, get into the mindset for an hour, hour and a half, do the gig, hour, hour and a half, train home.
Yeah.
Which sounds like an inconvenience, but it's actually the perfect way to decompress, because by the time I get home, I don't have any of that shite energy. Do you know, I don't have any of that fucking weird.
And it is weird and spiky and odd and... You know, you've exerted yourself, but not, you haven't been to the gym.
No,
you've just done it. You've performed, and now you had the adulation of a crowd as well, or you had a bad night and you had the hate of the crowd. Whatever, whichever way it went that particular night.
I don't think I've had I'm not pure bragging. I've not had great times every time doing a Zoom gig, but I've never had anybody be like. Actually, I have had people. That's not a story. I just remember watching somebody doing a Zoom gig and watching somebody shake their head, stand up, and go to their kitchen.
Yeah.
Which I was like, okay, that's a new type of heckle.
You see the screen go blank. That square goes dark. You know, all right then. He didn't like that one. I'm like, fair enough then.
I do think kind of one thing about Zoom gigs is you get the nerves of it, and you get the feeling of, oh, that was shite sometimes, yeah. But you don't get the pure rush when it goes well. It feels good when it goes well, but I don't think you get the proper,
nah.
Oh, I just changed my arm there and I pulled it off.
It's like having sweeteners instead of sugar. It's not quite the same, is it?
I was going to say methadone instead of heroin, but fair enough.
Well, I didn't want to go down that route. Because you mentioned Glasgow. I don't want to go down those stereotype, that bullshit stereotype avenue. But growing up in Glasgow, I love Glasgow. But I've only ever been there in the last sort of, I've only been going there in the last sort of 15 years. So I wasn't aware of it before, you know, right. I always heard stories of it, and it was this.
What stories did you hear?
Like tattooing, it was all like, oh, this stuff goes on, and they're all mad, and they all, and it's violent, and it's exuberant, and it's this, and it's that, and so I don't really know what was it like growing up in Glasgow for you, because it can't have been like that. It must have been like all places. It must have been good and bad.
Oh yeah, I mean, there's nice bits and there's bad bits. I would describe the area I grew up as. So I grew up in the East End, and the East End of Glasgow is a wee bit like the East End of London, you know, or the East End of New York. have you heard the thing about why the East End of a place is always like poor and why the West End of a place is always rich?
Nah.
It's because during the Industrial Revolution, there was all these big chimneys in the middle of towns, right? And because in the Western Hemisphere, there's a prevailing westerly wind. So that would carry all the smog and the smoke for the factories in the middle into the east end of places. And then the west end of the cities would have, like, clean air, so the rich people would go live there.
Oh, wow. Never heard that before, ever.
Yeah, man.
That makes complete sense, of course.
I mean, it does. And then if you go to somewhere like Sydney or Melbourne in the Southern Hemisphere, all their east ends are really rich and all their west ends are really... because the wind goes in the opposite direction.
Wow, man.
Yeah.
See? All those books that you read. It's starting to pay off now.
I read that in a Wikipedia page, so it wasn't one of the books.
But growing up, would it have been... I mean, you're a lot younger than I am. But I mean, I don't mean to patronise you in that way, but, you know, was it easier for you to express, like, if you were really having a shit day, were you able to tell people?
So I've spoke about this, because I was speaking to an older comedian once, and they were like, that's the thing about your mob, you know, you young people, you're always talking about how you feel, and that's great, because you could have done that in my day, but I think I was just at the tail end. Like, it was still, I was thinking about this, there's so much stuff where, like, you could tell that in my, like, when I'm 27, so this was like 10 years ago, you could tell that things were about to get better, but they weren't good yet. Like, in the 70s and 80s, there was like, Thatcher was saying, like, people shouldn't learn about being gay in school, I guess. So I'm in the 2000s. I remember a poster on the school in my wall, and a poster on the wall in my school, and it was like, the slogan for pro-gayness was, some people are gay, deal with it.
Yeah.
Which is good, but it also, it's too vague. It's not specific enough about how you should deal with it.
Yeah.
To me, that's like, you know, Goebbels having a poster that's like, some people are Jews. Deal with it. You're like, that doesn't sound like you're dealing with it in the right way.
It sounds like deal with it, like deal with it.
Yeah, let's deal with it. Let's get it sorted.
Let's eradicate that. So how did that feel when you saw things like that? You know?
No, I mean, that was a good post. I just like take the piss out. shite slogans. So I guess mental health. There wasn't really... People weren't... It was starting to happen, but like, I remember trying to get help for, like, I've always been fucking mental, like, since I was a wee guy, so I've always been interested in trying to get help for it. Maybe it was better in, like, other parts of Glasgow, I don't know, but certainly where I grew up, it was like, do not talk about stuff like this, even if it's 2010 or 2005 or like 1998 or so. Like, I remember coming home from school I mean, this isn't a slight on my granny or anything, right? But I remember coming home from school when I was like 8 or 9 or 10. Coming home from school and my mum and dad would be at their work, so I would go to my nana's house. I remember going to my nana's house and being and just like bursting into tears. And my nana was like, "What's wrong?" And I was like, "I want to kill myself." And I think that took her back loads.
Yeah.
You don't expect a suicidal 9-year-old, do you know what I mean? So stuff like that, you know, people just, I think she was just like, what are you talking about? You're 9? Like,
yeah, what was triggering that at 9? I mean, what, was it pure, just where your head was at?
I've always been mental, man. Just like, always, like, just freaking out. I think I've got really bad anxiety and I've got really bad, like, undiagnosed ADHD that nobody ever noticed because I'm quite laconic, like I'm quite chill,
yeah,
but I'm also like freaking out all the time.
See, so like the duck on water thing where it's all because when we were walking around in Nottingham and I'm like, Jesus, this cat is one chilled dude. Like we were wandering around, you were like, yeah whatever, I'm gonna go over here, I've seen a bit and just, you were just books and clothing and what do you think of this shirt? I was like, yeah, it's a good shirt, you should get that shirt. And then it was all, but then you say that, I had no clue that underneath.
What's grown up where I grew up has done is I can put on a really good mask where anything that's happening, I can just have a face that doesn't care. But, you know, it's not real, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But people say that it's good for, it's a great skill for stand-up, to be freaking out and then going on stage and I'm just like, all right, obviously I'm fucking, like, sometimes I'll know the face I'm putting on, the fake face.
Yeah, right, will be feel, like, actually feel it.
Yeah, but then I'll look at my hand and my hand's, like, shaking. Do you know
I've
what
had
I mean?
Gigs like that. Yeah. And I'm like, no one knows. And then you're just like, oh, God, I can't even bring the mic to my face.
Mm.
Yeah. And how did you deal with that? When you were a kid and you had all those weird thoughts raging around, you wouldn't have really told anybody.
No.
What, I mean, I suppose you just get on with it, really. Because you just kind of...
Yeah, you just put the head down, which isn't great, you know what I mean? No. Like, I wish... I remember, basically, it came to a head when I was, like, late teens towards the end of school, and I had to wake up, and I was just dreading school because I hadn't done any of the homework because I just forgot. And I knew that I would need to go into school and deal with it and talk to other people and get shouted at and stuff. And I just went, I'm not fucking going to school. And my mum was like, you need to go to school. And I just went, lost the plot, started like slamming the door and shit, like, I'm not fucking going to school.
Fuck.
And she was like, what's wrong? And I was like, oh, I fucking kill myself. It became a bit of a catchphrase.
Here he comes with his catchphrase.
So I just started like fucking slamming the door, and then my mum was like, you've lost the plot. And I was I know. Yeah. And then I said to her, I was like, oh, I've got this phone number. There's this phone number I'd found, like, phone this if you get suicidal thoughts. Phone this number. It was a company called Glasgow East Regeneration. So but I didn't know that. I thought it was like called Suicide Hotline, right? So I phoned it and I was like, oh, I'm like crying and shit. I was like, I feel like ending it. What did I do? And they were like, Glasgow East Regeneration? And I was like, Glasgow Yeast Regeneration? And they were like, Glasgow East Regeneration? I thought they were saying, like, yeast. Like they were making, like, craft beer or something. I was like, what? Like, for bread? They were like, Glasgow East Regeneration? And I was just laughing, like, fuck, because we just went on and on. And it kind of brought me out a wee bit. And I was like, no, I want to kill myself. And they were like, what age are you? And I was like, I'm like 18. They were like, are you still in school? I was like, yeah, I haven't left yet. And they were like, right, if you want to talk to us, you're going to have to go to your pastoral care teacher and tell him we can't actually deal with anybody who's, like, still in school. And I was like, okay. But then, like, my pastoral care teacher, he was, like, also, like, I've had, like, classes with him, and, like, we done, like, the school charity Never Mind the Buzzcocks panel show together, do you know what I mean? Like, I didn't feel as if I could go to him. You know, he was married to my fashion, my higher fashion teacher. I did fashion at high school because I was a very confused young man. I didn't feel like as if I could talk to anybody, so I just went try to figure out stuff on the internet about therapy and stuff, but basically that put me off ever talking to anybody about it.
Yeah, right.
So I've kind of had to self-medicate.
So you haven't spoken to anyone since? You've not been counselling or anything like that? You've just kind of accepted that it's not wrong. Mm-hmm. You've just gone, that's who I am, and you've kind of carried it with you. You've dealt with it that way.
Because I couldn't get any help for it, I found this thing on the internet, and it was like, do you know, I think it might have been a Doug Stanhope joke or something. I was listening to a lot of stand-up at the time when I was a teenager, and I found, I can't remember who it was, but it was the best advice anybody's ever given me. It was like, if you want to kill yourself, not fair enough, but like, okay, that's something you want to do, why don't you think of the three things you would do if you could do anything? Try and do them. And once you've tried them and you still don't like being alive, fair enough.
But
give them a chance. So I thought of the three things, and it was try stand-up, be in a band, and be a wrestler.
Yeah, right. How did you get on?
Well, a stand-up's been okay. I was in a band for like a year. We broke up because a stand-up started going quite well, and then I tried wrestling one time, but it was fucking not for me. I thought it was faker than it was.
Well, that's it, isn't it? That's the thing. Scroobius Pippers talks about that, the fact that it's still physical, they're still chucking each other around. I mean, it's planned and the outcome's planned, but the actual doing,
I'm not like that. Like, I've never been like a sporty guy. I'm not like, I can't take getting hit very well. Like, I just, like, there was this, basically I was like a guy's manager when I tried wrestling, and my job was to grab this woman's legs while she was standing on the side of the ring. I would grab her legs, and then my guy would like push her off, and then, so that was what was planned, and they went, right, and after that she's going to hit you. And I was like, I've never been to training or anything, so I don't know how to get hit.
You just turned up.
I just turned up, and they were like, she's going to hit you.
Who does that?
And basically she slapped me so hard, this woman, that like my cheek dug into like my row of teeth, and I got like a line of ulcers all up the side of my, and like blood started coming out my mouth and stuff.
Perfect.
And it was like a kids show, so they were like, why are you bleeding? Like, why
why are you bleeding?
I was like, I'm okay, but I got a wee bit concussed, so I figured wrestling wasn't really for me.
No, yeah. That's the thing, like I've said to you, people get fucking hurt, man. I've seen it, but it's that. Yeah, well, I mean, when I was a kid, wrestling wasn't the American thing. It was Big Daddy and Giant Haystacks, and so it was all. I remember my mum and dad went to see that. They went to see Rollerball Rocco and wrestler called Cat Weasel, and they went to see him. That was him, and they went to see him in, I think it was in Lewisham or Catford or wherever it was. Mm-hmm. And they came back and they just smelt a smoke, and it was all just, you know, it was in the 70s, late 70s, so. It just wasn't a sport. It was just fat men.
Men rolling about, having a good time.
Yeah, smoking and drinking pints and
smoking fags and wearing leotards. I mean, the way I think about the 70s wrestling, I'm like, fuck, I would have liked to have hung out. Because it seemed as if people didn't... people knew it was fake, but, you know, okay, there's a guy called Cat Weasel who's like a scarecrow. You know, that was the thing. So.
Yeah. There's Big Daddy, and then the big news was that his real name was Shirley Crabtree. Mm. That was big news back then. This is what I was dealing with. Like, big news was that he had a girl's name, for want of a better thing. And then later on Top of the Pops, you had Boy George turned up, and everyone was like, is that a man? Yeah. Is that a woman? And it was every time Top of the Pops was on, that's all anyone talked about. Sure. And it's like the poster that you said that you saw. You know, that, it's like, people didn't know how to talk about the sexuality. They just, it was all brand new back then. It was all,
I had a wee thing like that the first day of high school because my dad's a hairdresser, and when I was wee, he would give me all kinds of weird haircuts, like Mohicans and like dyeing a blonde streak through a wee evil fringe, or like shaving shit into the back of my head. Like, do you know when people get like designs shaved in?
Yeah, yeah.
So I would have like wrestling masks and fucking like yin yangs shaved out the back of my head. But when I went to high school, obviously at primary school, I grew up with the same kind of 90 children as like my year. But then going to high school and it was like a couple hundred and people had never met me and showing up with like a blonde streak through my hair and like just like weird clothes and shit.
Yeah.
And people, I think people were asking me if I was like a transsexual because I had like dyed hair and I was a boy. So when people say, oh, you grew up recently, things must have been all right for you. I'm like, no, man, not in the East End of Glasgow.
No, not at all. And my son is, my two sons are about your age. So my youngest is 23, my eldest is 28. And yeah, for him growing up, you know, he used to go to school with, I remember he had a red Mohican, he had a green one as well. And that was in his primary school. Then he went to when he went to high school, he's not walking around like that. Absolutely not. That wasn't my choice. That was him. He's like, no, I'm not. That's
my dad said something to me. He was like, I think I got beat up at school or something, and I was wearing all this shit, like having this the haircuts and stuff, because I had all that stuff in primary, and then when I got to secondary school, started getting beat up for like the hair and stuff. And he was like, listen, you can dress like this, and you can have this hair, but people are gonna fucking kick the shit out of you. So you can either have it and that happens, and either way is cool, you know. But he was right, you know. So I didn't go normal until I was like 16. So I grew my hair long when I was 13 or 14, and that was just confusing for people as well.
Yeah,
like people thought I was a ghetto a lot of the time. Not even like slagging me like, you look like a ghetto, but like just drunk guys come up to me going, excuse me hen, do you know the way to the pub and stuff. Like, people genuinely thought I was a ghetto and shit. So.
Wow, man. It's funny, isn't it? It's that people feel threatened. It's not necessarily that they don't like what you're doing. There's an admiration in there somewhere, but they feel threatened because they don't have the confidence to really express themselves in that way. Mm-hmm. So that makes them feel bad, and then they get angry, and then so they lash out. They're like, and it's all subconsciously, all this shit going on.
Yeah.
And all you've done is rock up in a hairstyle that you wanted. And it's conjured up all this. I want to express myself in that way, but I don't know how. I'm going to punch you. You know.
Do you know, I was also an arsehole. So, you know.
Deserved it.
A wee bit, yeah. Just like over familiar with people and like just awkward and overthinking stuff. Not an arsehole, but just a wee. I have a bit in my stand-up just now where I say, you know, I got beat up a lot, but it was always for a good reason, you know? Like, so I completely understand where people were coming from, but looking back, it seems like a long time ago now, looking back. It seems like I lived further back in the past. I feel like a time traveller.
But that's what it sounds like, yeah, because we're, you know, like we said, you know, the older comedians have spoken to you and like, you know, you've had it easy. It wasn't like that in my day. But then, it's like we're only now sort of understanding, I certainly am only now understanding what it used to be like up until very recently. And it's only now we're having these conversations, you know, and it's only now that I've started to be a bit more out there with what I wear, because now I'm suddenly like, no, I dress for me. I want to wear what I like. I'm not part of a thing anymore. I don't want to be seen as a fan of any particular band. I just want to, and I really wish
I had that yourself as a kid.
Yeah, I just want to wear what I want. I've got Jade Vendors. So I bought these shoes, but they got sequins on the front.
Nice.
Right? And they turned up when I wasn't there, and then later on, I found out that Jade, my missus, had sent a picture of them to her friend and gone, and they're all a bit, they're like designer, but they're scuffed designer. And she went, I think Richie's buying old shoes off of eBay to like some perversion.
Oh.
Yeah. She went,
he's a like, shoe smeller?
Yeah. She thought they were like women's shoes. Because they had secrets in them. And I didn't know any of this. Is this that? We were taking pictures of something, and I went, oh, I've got just the shoes for this outfit. And I put them on, and I came out, and she went, oh, I thought, What did you think? She told me, and I fucking died. I died. I went, you can wear these. And she put them on. I went, look, they look wicked. I said, it's like, there's no real gender attached to these. And I went, if I want to sniff your shoes, I go in the hallway.
Yeah.
50 pairs out there.
It's always bad when your fashion choices come across as fetishes to other people, you know?
Yeah. It's like there's this... I've had conversations with trans people and talking about because they go, I put on a blouse and then I could feel something, and then we had this conversation about, but if you had a shirt and a blouse made from the same material, it's not the clothing that's really changing it, is it? It's what's put on the clothing.
100%. Yeah. I get the piss taken out of me by more kind of traditionally masculine comedians.
Oh yeah,
because I wear a lot of shirts that could be referred to as blouses, like this bad boy, like kind of flowing shirt. You know, like when a denim jacket. Where kind of.
I've seen you in full flow, man. It looks edge.
I love wearing a blouse, though, man. Like I used to have a shirt, and one time one of my friends noticed that like the buttons buttoned on the other side.
Yeah,
and why you got a ghetto shirt? And I was like, I said to them, oh, I found it in a charity shop and I didn't realise it buttoned on the wrong side.
Oh, right, yeah.
Like a ghetto shirt would till I got home. But in actual fact, I did know. Yeah.
Of course you did. Just you liked know? It.
But I just like wearing ghetto clothes. Yeah. I like wearing kind of unisex clothes.
Yeah.
Like, or not unisex, but like, I don't know, it's just nice. It feels kind of like different.
Oh, revelation. Mm-hmm. I've spoken about this on here before, a revelation that I had. And the guest did as well. I think the guest brought it up was women's jeans. Wearing women's jeans that have elastic, like they're like, they're more stretchy than the fellas.
The high-waisted ones with
changed my life.
Mm.
I bought a pair of Dorothy Perkins, just black plain jeans. The best thing I'd ever had. They're still skinny or skinny as I can get them. And, man, they feel great. It's not like I like feeling like a woman. It's like, it's comfortable.
I like feeling like a guy in women's clothes. I don't know. My issue with women's jeans, and I've tried a few on, is that because, women's jeans and women's clothes kind of leave room for the ass.
Right, yeah.
And I'm kind of flat. So I feel like a real fucking pancake ass when I wear ladies jeans.
Look, I remember going into a shop where, because the fingerless gloves were all the rage when I was at school, but there was only one place that sold them, and it was in the girls section in the school uniform shop.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember going in there and I gave this massive excuse as to why I was buying them. Because it was in the girls' section. I was like, oh, my sister sent me into one of these gloves, and they're not for me, they're for my sister. Like, what colour do you want? I'm like, navy blue. And I know we all go through those things. It's like, oh, I wish I just it's totally, just clothing, isn't it? But
it doesn't matter. When I was a teenager, it was the emo stuff was really quite popular, and all my friends were emos, and... You know, that was all kind of about, like, they had the fingerless gloves and the skinny jeans and the big... I think it was quite 80s-y, really, the big kind of scene haircut and stuff, you know? There was a lot of stuff like that. And, I wish I embraced it, you know? All my friends had their nails painted and I didn't, and I was like, I wish I was less of a metalhead and more of an emo.
Well, I wish I'd been a bit more like that when I was a kid. It was... When I got older, I think from when I was, like, 22... 20, about 24 onwards, I've always looked like a van driver from Kent. So I got to be...
Van driver from Kent, you know what I mean? Like, you drive the van, but you go to a rave after the show.
Yeah, but I have to be careful what else I embrace. Like, if I was going to, paint my nails a different colour and things like that, and I'd have to really think about what I was going to pair that with.
Oh, sure.
And think, you can't...
Adidas... You know. Tracky top plus the painted nails, you're like, I don't know.
Unless the colour on the nails matches the stripes. There's always that. Oh,
mate, you've reinvented the tracky. That's great.
How about that?
I like that.
Yeah. I'll do it later on the way home. It's It's a funny one. Recently, actually, I was in a shop and there's a pair of Nikes that I really liked. Mm-hmm. And they were orange, yellow, and there was a pink on them. Mm-hmm. But they only went up to an 8 because they were in women's. Mm-hmm. And I just stood there and I'm like, we're still doing that. We're still men's and women's. And especially with trainers, that should just be universal by
one
now.
One thing I've noticed with trainers that really bothers me is the new ways that they've targeted people with the adverts. So I was listening to a podcast recently and you know, it goes like, doo-doo-doo.
Yeah.
And then the podcast comes in and it's based on your algorithm. So it's the stuff you're interested in. I was listening to a podcast recently and it went, the Acast thing went off and it went, doo-doo-doo. And it was like, everybody's feeling that low down, low energy feeling, but there's now a way to deal with it. Adidas trainers. And I was like, are you genuinely telling me that what will fix my broken head is a new pair of trainers?
So they should have come to you when you were a kid and you're like, I want to kill myself. It's getting down shoe zone.
I should have came home, told my grandmother I wanted to get myself, she would have went, have you tried Adidas trainers? I went, hey!
Hey, da da da.
Thank you, Acast, and thank you, Roseanne.
I mean, don't get me wrong, going clothes shopping does bring a certain amount of joy. I'm missing the charity shops, man.
It's bad to use consumerism as a way to deal with your mental health, but it does fucking work. You know, yeah.
That's why Jeff Bezos has made 35 billion quid in this pandemic. We've got nothing else. And it's just, all we've got is the Amazon app.
Yeah.
Just buy whatever fucking shit is on there just to get that little hit.
Yeah. You know? I'm a big video games guy. Yeah. And used to be when I was a young man. Not trying to get nostalgic for the early 2000s, but when I was a young man, if you wanted a video game, you had to go to a shopping centre, go to town, 40 quid, 20 quid pre-owned, buy it, take it home, play it. Now, the PlayStation Store and the Xbox Store, you just get bored and an advert will come up for something. You go, I want to play that. Yeah. And then it'll go, do you want to spend 60 quid? And you go, yeah. And then next thing you know, you've bought fucking 5 games. You haven't even left your house.
Yeah.
It's too easy.
Well, we've been set up. We've got this big projector screen.
Nice.
With the projector and it's connected. We've got a Xbox 360.
Okay.
So we're old school now.
That's retro now.
Yeah. But what happened was we spent so long in this world driving around trying to find a security truck that we could just nick the money from.
Mm-hmm.
We're not even playing the game now. We're just driving around killing people, flying helicopters, doing all the cheats. Fucking. And we were on it so long. I woke up next day. I genuinely thought I'd been somewhere.
Yeah.
We're in this world.
I've had that a few times. There's a game called Fallout 4, which is about like surviving in the post-apocalypse after a nuclear war.
Yeah.
And you've been in a vault, so you've survived it, and you come out and everything's irradiated and there's mutants everywhere and all the animals have got huge and shit. And there's these things called ghouls, which are like irradiated people whose skin's been melted by the radiation.
Fuck.
And I remember playing that from 8 p.m. to 7 a.m. an 11-hour, and then I went out for a fag with the sun coming up at like 7 in the morning.
Yeah.
And I fucking seen a ghoul out the corner of my eye, man. And I went, ugh! And then I realised, it's a big one. He was like, you all right? I was like, yeah.
Get away from me, melty skin, man. Well, I've done that. I remember, again, when Grand Theft Auto went from being, like, the first one was from above. So
The seagull view?
Yeah.
Like pure bird's eye view?
Yeah, so you had the Harry Krishnas wandering around and there was Austin Powers Jag and there was other things you could get.
GTA London, eh?
Yeah, that's it, yeah. But then when it changed to how it is and how it became, I got lost in that. Nicking cars. And then I remember driving, I was just coming out of London and I'm like, I'm sat in traffic and I'm like, oh, could just go across that thing there. It's like the microphone. I'm just going to go across that bank. You know, the microphone just fell down. Sorry. Yeah.
I'm
like,
going to have to come in and effect and repair.
Yeah, I didn't even touch it. It just fell down.
It does that.
Oh, good. I'm glad it just does that.
Paul, I thought you were in like a different country.
Yeah, now we've ruined it. Now.
There we are. I think that's it.
Yeah. I shit myself, did you know that? When it came down,
I shat myself.
You should be able to handle it, shouldn't it?
That's going to go again, isn't it?
Amazon. It feels like it's
fucking in. Amazon. Jeff Bezos, you prick.
Jeff Bezos.
How's that? Right.
Yeah, that's cool.
That was one thing I really didn't like about doing Twitch was technically being, because he owns Twitch. Amazon owns that. So technically being a Jeff Bezos employee made me want to. I kept saying on my stream that I was going to get a jet ski and like drive it to his private island and skin him and like wear his skin as a mask and like talk to his family as him. And I feel like that was affecting my progress as a Twitch employee.
Funny, isn't it? Yeah, because he knows anyone cunting him off. What are you getting out of it? Do you like knives?
Do you like potato peelers as weapons?
What, you need to get down here and get yourself a brand new jet ski. And it comes with a free peeler.
That was something I seen in London once as well, on the subject of like trainer adverts. It was like, I was walking past a shoe shop and I just seen a Nike trainer with a plant grown out of it. The trainer was the plant plot, was like, you know, a plant was coming out of it, and it was like, yep, we're good for the environment as shoes. And I just remember being just like,
what?
How hard has it got to market shoes to people that you have to be like, this will save the planet and this will save your fucked brain?
Yeah. That is when they start, manipulating it in that way. Like, this is the thing you're looking for. Because they all know there's a little bit of us missing. Mm-hmm. And we're forever striving to fill that little hole or that thing that stops the voices screaming for a bit.
Yeah,
it's totally. Always it's like, oh yeah, and you go and then you do buy that thing, and then for a minute you're hit with the dopamine and the got it, that you're right, I've worn these to a gig, that's the ticket. Next morning, oh no, I can feel that need. It's fucking mad being human, isn't it?
It is mad being human, but I really fucking detest that kind of advertising. Do you know what I mean? Like, I really. Maybe just because I'm always like, God, what could I use to make myself feel better? You know, just, and then for somebody to be so obvious about it, I don't mind.
Yeah.
I don't mind like a good advert, like where it's kind of sly about the fact that it knows that there's something missing in my life. Yeah. When it's so obvious, like, do you know what would make you feel better? Adidas. Oh.
You go, what, the thing I've just been talking about for the last half an hour? But it is funny when you haven't even been on your phone, but you've been talking about something.
Yeah.
About, we need a new ironing board, and then the next thing, 40 adverts for ironing boards.
It really pisses me off the fact that the voice recognition can detect what things I'm interested in, but it can't detect, like, me going, like, Alexa, play Megadeth. You know what I mean? Because my accent's so thick, I have to put on an English accent to do voice stuff. Fuck. Do you know what I mean? I have to go, what's a voice thing? Do you know what I mean? Like, what's voice activated? I can't even think.
Well, there's a sketch. I can't remember.
The Burniston thing, where it's like, floor three.
Yeah. And he's on his shoulders. And then he finishes, he's like, freedom! Freedom!
Exactly. That is such a fucking pain in the ass. So it's fucked up that it can understand me when it's spying on me, but it can't understand me when it's actually asking me for stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I talk about this. It's one of the bits of material I'm actually get out of this, this Zoom era.
Mm-hmm.
It's the fact that Captain Kirk would just be sat in his chair,
mm-hmm.
and he'd just sit down and out of nowhere, he just speaks into the sky, Captain's log, blah, blah, blah. And then something somewhere would record it,
mm-hmm.
and it'd be perfect. But at no point did Spock lean over again, you might want to start that again. It hasn't recognised what you were saying. Yeah,
I think you said Captain's log. And you need to hit the T. You need to hit the T if you're going to get that captain's log.
Yeah. Captain's
log. Try an accent. Captain's log.
It's always that fucking
pronounced RP voice.
That's it, yeah. That just screams colonialism and raping and pillaging of the world. That's still the voice of the fucking of our rulers, Alexa. Yeah.
Totally, man.
And the thing is, even if you say the word Alexa, if you're not even talking to her, it still goes, what? Like, it just dims what it's doing. And it's like,
I don't have one because I'm too freaked out by shit like that.
Yeah, I haven't got one. We had one at work at this job I had, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't got that, yeah.
But even when I was like doing Twitch streams and stuff, like there was a wee Serbian guy who would watch me called Alexa Milisevic. He would talk to me and I'd go, "What's happening, Alexa? How's it going?" And then me saying that on people's computer would set off like five Alexas in other people's house going, "Say that again."
I didn't quite catch that.
That's like, fuck, man. It's so fucking creepy.
But this is the thing, innit? They talk about Sean McLaughlin in his show, Hail Mary, talks about the fact that nobody said that when we got to the future, there'd still be elements of the past still with us.
I haven't seen that show and I need to see it because I seen Sean at the Glasgow Comedy Festival a couple of years ago and he was fucking amazing, man.
Got to fucking see it. I won't say any more than that.
Yeah.
Because there's some fucking brilliant bits in it and it's true. We're in this future that is still shit. It's like the original Star Wars, like the first one.
When all the droids are all fucking sandy and shit.
And they have to bang the console of the Millennium Falcon like a knackered telly to get it going. And that's where we're at, man. And so I'm not surprised people's heads are a bit all over the place because we're hurtling in one direction where it's all, you know, this is the new thing, that's the new thing. But we're still the same meat sacks that we were at the beginning of everything.
Yeah.
And that's why it's difficult for us to sort of, we're still this bag of screaming voices and I think that's, it's been becoming more and more difficult for us to sort of fit in.
Mm-hmm.
To this ever-changing world, this really quick-changing world. I think that's why it's nice now. We're putting the brakes on a little bit and going, do you want to talk about how you're feeling for a bit? Because I can't deal with that, and I'm pretty sure you can't deal with that.
Uh-huh.
Do you want some shoes?
I don't like it when the mental health movement is co-opted to sell stuff, but it is a very positive thing as long as people are going about it the right way. People aren't using it as an excuse for shit behaviour. Things are better. I still haven't been to see a therapist, but that's mostly because I can't afford one. So.
Nah, that's the other thing as well, isn't it? It's that, and then you might not find the right one straight away. There's that. I've only 100%. Just learned about that. It's all about a relationship, and you might not make that connection first off, so you might have to try a few. And it's funny you mentioned adverts because there's adverts on this podcast, and you again you kind of question it, but then you go, well, we have to have them because then it brings in a little bit of money and then it keeps it going, and there's that. But if it got to a point, I'd have to be sat here just selling fucking mattresses, and then it kind of cancels out what you're doing. But
you can't live ethically in the society that we live in.
It's impossible.
Stop. You can't do it. So you need to kind of just draw the line wherever you draw it.
Yeah.
And that's up to you as an individual, do you know what I mean? Like, it's impossible to... There was this thing where they... I think it was Blind Boy tried to do a thing where he tried to find somebody who was living like a carbon footprint.
Yeah.
And he was just living in the woods by himself, like, just eating food that he grew and, like, drinking water for the rain and stuff, and they were like, so you think you live an ethical existence? And then they found out that he had a torch, and the torch had batteries, and you can't get batteries without like zinc mines, do you know what I mean? Like, without these horrible mines where cunts are dying in like Africa and stuff. So, you know, they were like, what about that? The guy was like, it's just the batteries, that's it.
Yeah, there we go, but that's still...
But it's still impossible, yeah.
It is impossible. We're at a point now where, there's absolutely no way anything you do, even like the oat milk, like Oatly was, now you've got the people that are destroying the rainforest were putting money into it. It's fucked. You cannot, the fact that you're alive,
yeah.
means that you can't live. But all you, what you can do, like you said just now, is just do the best you can in any area that you can. You know, just to try and get by and not be too guilt ridden.
Me and my girlfriend kind of fall out about this a wee bit because she is a very. She loves her recycling. She loves her. She's not drinking any dairy, like milk. She's into like her oat milk, and she makes her own cashew milk in empty glass wow. iron brew bottles. I drink the iron brew, and she fills it up with cashew
that's
milk.
That's all right.
And shit.
That's a.
And she's into all this stuff, and you know. She doesn't like plastic bags and stuff like that. So if we're buying spring onions and Morrison's, I'll be like, oh, let's get the ones in the bag. She'll be like, no, let's get the individual ones in the brown bag and stuff. But I always feel like, let's just look after, maybe this is like a Tory-ish way of looking at things, right? But let's just look after ourselves to the point where we can function. And then, yeah. you know, all the environment stuff's went right out the window this last year and a half. Nobody's yeah. talking about Greta Thunberg now.
No, people
are like, cunts are dying. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It really has shone a light on a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. It just goes, and it's made you realise how fragile our mm-hmm. existence really is. It just took one thing to just fucking just go rumbling through.
Oh. Totally, man. That's been a big problem. When I was a lot younger, I had a lot of kind of mental health problems, and I didn't really resolve them. But my job kind of sorted out a lot of stuff for me. Where I was always looking forward to, I had a gig 5 nights a week, you know, twice a night sometimes. So I always had something to look forward to. Right, get ready for that. Get ready for that.
Yeah.
Every year a new fringe show. Get ready for that. Get ready for that. And my job kind of. Gave me that sense of like self-worth and like an identity, and then like a year ago, do you know, so it's been a full year without I've had to try and find other stuff to determine like my identity, do you know what I mean? It's been a right tough year and a half,
and that's exactly what we've been doing, is that finding out what we are beyond comedy or behind comedy even, you know. And I think it's made me realise what I had, and I'm more appreciative. I'm definitely now be more appreciative of it. It looks like it's starting to kind of start again. And
yeah, I've got some Scotland still not saying anything. So
oh, really?
Scotland still like no gigs booked in, please, because we do not know. Whereas England, like a lot of clubs are booking in weekends, and I've got some, and I'm like, fuck, I hope this goes ahead.
Oh, see, that didn't. I wasn't aware. That's the thing, when you forget that Scotland, England, Ireland, Wales, separate. You got separate things going on.
Yeah.
I forget that, because you just go, we're on the same island, we're on the same bit of land. So I just forget. So I'm down here, and everyone's. And I've got to be honest. It's been a few times people are going, I can't believe it. We're going to be doing this, and I'm like, I don't want to get too excited. But then I'm looking at the news, and they're already talking about, like, it's like the doors are open and spring's here, and it's like, come on, we're going back out. And
yeah, Scotland's not fucking doing that, man. It's like, do you know how gigs started in England again?
No.
Like in like August or September, like some clubs started doing gigs. So
yeah.
Top Secret and Camden Comedy Club and that just. Never happened up here. So
really?
It's been like everything's. Yeah. There's not been a crowd in a venue since March.
Fuck, man.
So she didn't even very jealous looking at the Australian comedy festivals and stuff, you know.
I said that Mick Nevin was out there, and he's doing the pub crawls. He's doing this, and I'm like, I'm really pleased to see you like having a good time, but fuck off.
I know. He's a lovely guy, man.
Yeah, he's a beauty. Like, I love Mick. He's been on here, actually. That was a good chat.
He had a great show a couple of years ago about getting free sachets of sauce on your sausage roll in Australia.
That's like, that's it, yeah.
That's such a cool thing to do a show about.
A whole show.
Yeah, an hour. That's class.
But you're holding it together, though. You've got your girlfriend understands that, you know,
Not great for a podcast, but I just made a worried face. It's very, very tenuous, you know. If we'd had this conversation a week ago, I would be less cool. And I think maybe a week from now, I'll be less cool again. I always see my mental health as like being in the ocean, you know. And like, do you know that way when you're in the sea and a wave's coming and you go, whoo? Yeah. And you like go up with it.
Sometimes you go out of it and sometimes it goes over your head.
Sometimes you're like looking the other way and somebody's on the beach like, it's coming, and you're like, what? And then you're upside down and there's a starfish in your ass, do you know what I mean? So.
But that's why it's mental health, isn't it? And that's why you have to do things to look after it. And I know I've found, I mean, I don't do Twitch and things like that, but because everything's screens now, so I've had to physically... I put my phone away and come away from it because I could feel myself getting sick more than... And I just don't feel right.
Do you have anything that you use for your mental health that is bad for you in other ways, but it's good for your head?
What are we talking?
This is a hot take, right? I don't think there's anything better for my mental health that I use to self-medicate than smoking fags.
Yeah, really.
I think smoke, like, what do you do when you're... This isn't good advice, but what do you do when you're freaking out? You go outside and you take deep breaths.
Yeah.
When you smoke a fag, you are legally obligated to leave the situation and then... I mean, that really fixes me. I don't think it's the nicotine. I think it's just breathing.
Yeah, it's just the whole thing, the whole pantomime of the thing you're doing. It's the going out, it's the getting the fags, it's the going outside.
And when you have social anxiety, a lot of the issue is I'm in a situation that's fucking freaking me out. I wish I had an excuse to leave this conversation. I need to go for a fag. People are like, I totally understand you're addicted. Great, cool.
Yeah. And then they've got a break from you as well for a bit. Going, oh, okay. 100%. He's out.
God, that cunt smells, you know. That's.
Yeah, I take weed.
So you said you know someone?
I know someone. I actually know someone that smokes a lot of weed. I don't smoke it. It's got weed butter, and doing it properly takes about 4 hours. Like I'd have it on my toast in the morning, and I just gone for the day. For the day.
You need to be comfortable with the people you're with, though.
Yeah, definitely.
Because, you know, I had a brief, serious weed phase when basically I was living with my mum and dad when I was in high school, and not having a good time. So I left, went to university in Edinburgh, so only an hour away, but for some reason I was like, I'm going to go into student halls, like halls of residence. So I was living with people who needed like halls, so it was like a Russian guy and an Irish guy, and the Russian guy smoked weed every day. He was like a wee tiny guy called Ilushka, and he had a wee beanie on, and he just like did acid all the time and like smoked weed every day. And like the living room had... a heat detector, not a smoke detector, so we could just sit and smoke in the living room.
Fuck,
and,
man.
He was nice, but he had a lot of like 7 foot Russian, like what you think. Like, he was not what I thought of when I thought of like what Russian dudes are like. These guys were like the Soviet military, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, pure, like, handsome. And they would, I would smoke like, I would have like 2 puffs and like lose my mind. And then these guys would start talking to each other in Russian. I'd be like, whoa. God, they're calling me an asshole. They're talking about how they're going to kill me. They're going to poison me. They're going to Novichok me.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You don't need that. You don't need
guys talking in Russian when you're out your nut.
Yeah. I remember being in another country and I'd done acid. And I'm coming down, and I'm in a Burger King, and I'm with one of the girls from the thing we were doing, and we were both just sort of rocking in a Burger King, and I'm like, ah, man. And I could hear, funnily enough, Russian voices behind me, and I'm like, oh God. And then like, I'm like, there's these big Russian dudes behind me, and I'm, oh, fuck. Turn round, they weren't even speaking Russian. They weren't even big, they were just little fellas. I lost my mind, and I just, I never want to do this again in a public place amongst other people. If I'm going to do anything at all, I want to do it where all my things are.
Yeah.
All my stuff.
Well, I've never had an environment where I've been able to kind of smoke stuff or take stuff in a, like a safe place with like people I trust, because my girlfriend doesn't like stuff like that.
And right, yeah.
I haven't really done any drugs in fucking ages because, you know, she's doesn't yeah. like them, and you know, so it's always okay. I always feel like that's the thing. Like, I was always too far away from my house with people I didn't know.
Yeah.
And that was the issue, really.
Yeah, that's it. It's all about logistics.
Yeah.
And the company that you were keeping in. Yeah, I know that, man.
But yeah, but I always felt like weed properly, like, it's good for some people. It wasn't, it didn't go for me. Maybe it was just all the Russian guys I was hanging out
yeah.
with. But I remember one time he rolled a joint and then put the joint in the bong. So you were smoking the joint through the bong. And I'd never done like a bong before. I never smoked a bong before, but right? So I put my mouth to it and he was like, it's that thing with the bubbles and shit and the lighter. Yeah. And he was like, just breathe in. But like when he did that, he said to me, "And now the journey begins."
Oh, no!
And I laughed into the bong, and the bong shot the joint out because I laughed into it. And the joint shot across the room and hit a mad Russian guy, and he's like, "What the nit, nit?"
All these flames.
Yeah, these totally. I just set fire to a guy for, you know, St. Petersburg.
Yeah, that's going to put you off.
So stuff like that doesn't help.
So why don't you do weed anymore? Kill the man.
Set fire. Well, you know, one of my pals was covered in petrol and...
one of it led to another. Oh, man. This has been really nice. I'm really pleased you could come on.
Oh, thanks a lot, mate. Cheers.
I want you to... having only... spent a brief amount of time with you, you're a special dude, and I want you to look after yourself, and hopefully we'll get, I can't wait to, I'm not saying hopefully, when we will,
yeah, when we get together.
I can't wait, man, and we can go and look at the charity shops and be fucking cool, look at blouses, it'd be
let's
great.
Get some serious blouses and some Adidas trainers, man. Let's
do it. Let's do it. We'll rock up the gig that night. The fuck are these two been doing?
Smoking big joints.
Yeah. Well, where can we find you, man?
Oh, yeah. So I'm on Twitter at MacArthurBoyd. I'm on Instagram, MacArthur.Boyd, because my dad took MacArthur Boyd and he won't give me it, even though
what?
Arguably my media career is more important than his hairdressing career. What else? I'm starting a podcast soon called Enjoy an Album with my friend Liam Whiffnail.
No, nice. That'd be cool.
Diagram Dawn, where we just listen to albums and shit together and talk about them. So, yeah, keep an eye out for me, man.
Yeah, I will do. We'll spread the word. Don't worry about that. This has been fantastic. Take care of yourself, man.
Thanks for having me on, man. Really appreciate it. See you later.
One-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way, because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Made by darkhorsedigital.co.uk. Shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.